long shot for a big score, you need Silly Underdog Picks.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
It may be a long shot, but it's all you've got. It's time to pick your dark horse.
Not your nose.
This is Silly Underdog Picks.
Brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
Silly Underdog Picks. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here. Underdog is here.
All right, hour number three on this Thursday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, participants in Silly Underdog Picks. Something Willie like Donick, that. The commissioner.
He is.
I am right here. I am ready to go.
Let's.
The data is ready.
Phones seem to be a little bit quiet this weekend, so I didn't check, see who won and who lost, but it seemed to be... Not any text flowing around, so that's probably not a good sign.
I sent you a text.
There was a significant win.
Okay. Well, let's start with Forever Titan. Chris Sanders, he will be a part of the pregame coverage Sunday down at George Jones on 2nd Avenue from 9:30 until 11:30. Chris, how you doing?
Hey, buds. How you doing?
Yeah.
Hey,
what's
doing
going
all right?
on? What's new, buddy?
Hey, Darren, can I ask you a question? You're good at math, right?
Not actually. No, my son's probably better than me.
Okay, what's zero plus zero?
Wow.
That's your score, buddy. That's how many times you won.
Wow.
Glad he picks on you.
It's just like I said earlier, last hour, they were making fun of me downstairs in the Predators locker room. They listened to
this.
You're
going to have to tell me who.
And they were saying, you suck at your picks. And I'm like,
awful. You are the worst.
And I was like, what do you want me to say? Okay, I have no comeback. I just have to sit there and take it.
All you got to do is say, as long as I'm giving it my all, that's all that matters.
Well, I did. It's one pick at a time.
Right? I will give my all for Tennessee today.
Well, you know, it is interesting. You know, when we have our production meetings for a broadcast, you know, uh-huh. we'll go over some things we want to put up on a graphic for a telecast. And, Chris, I think you just brought up a stat. Like, I in the history of the competition, nobody has ever gotten zero for the season.
Wow. I mean, that
could be a graphic for this week if we were on TV. We'd say no one has ever been shut out for a season. You guys still have a chance for perfection.
We just lost Chris.
Yeah, I heard
I thought he was speechless.
He got zapped.
So let's bring up who Baker Mayfield is trying to be in Cleveland. He's trying to be another Kelly Holcomb. And right now, he looks like he's about 500 miles from being the next Kelly Holcomb because he stinks and the Browns stink. Now, luckily for them, their schedule gets really easy the second half of the season. He's Kelly Holcomb, part of the Riverdale staff. His son is on the Riverdale Warriors. Kelly, how you doing?
I'm good. It's not a bad thing that Chris is no longer on the
I'm back.
Phone call.
Oh, he's back.
I got to talk some more trash. Get off, Kelly.
Oh, is he back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just in time as we pulled you up. Just in time.
You talk. You know what I think about? I think about in The Karate Kid when Danielson and Mr. Miyagi were sitting there and he caught the fly and he gets up and he says, "Beginner's luck." Every time you talk, that's what I think about.
Man, hey, a new sheriff is in town, baby.
Yeah, no, ain't no new sheriff now. And I brought it up last week, Commissioner Donick, that if Chris keeps talking, you need to find him.
Hey, I know in football this week yesterday they had the trade. You know, players are going to get traded. Seriously, Darren's been doing so terrible. He's been doing terrible that I thought he was going to get traded. Seriously.
Wow, he's not even done. He came right out with a swift kick. Swift kick to the midsection, and he's still got more kicks.
Another Karate Kid reference there.
Yeah.
There we go.
You know what, though? I'm still impressed, though, Kelly, with the image of catching the fly with the chopsticks.
That is pretty good.
Maybe that's what you guys need to do. Just practice. Get the chopsticks out, work it, you know, and then all of a sudden the magic will happen.
No.
or stand on the post at the beach, or you know, do the crane technique.
No.
Maybe try yoga or just something a little bit simpler.
Could
maybe try yoga.
Some yoga pants on. No, can't. That's not a good sign.
Even I had to laugh at that. Derek Mason wanted to send along that he's doing laundry. He's picking out his gray outfit for tomorrow.
Laundry.
So he'll join us in the second segment. All of his gray
outfits.
Are you
outfits, sure it's gray?
It's gray top, gray hat, gray socks, gray underwear, gray pants.
Sometimes it's
black.
We're all
dirty. So he's doing laundry, and so he'll join us in the second segment for his
pet. Are you serious? Laundry?
That's what was passed along, that he needs to clean his gray outfit for tomorrow's show.
What are you talking about, Willis?
Yeah, and then Nick Cale
is
his wife has him running errands or
something.
I don't know.
So Nick,
really?
He's got a dentist appointment, fingernails painted. I don't. I never know what he's doing. Whatever, he's making meatloaf. I don't know what he's doing. So with that being said, Commissioner Willie Donick, the floor is yours.
Let's review.
Willie, oh Willie D, Willie D.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your Commissioner speaking. Willie Donick here from Pete and Terry's Tavern, Bridgestone Arena. This is the Silly Underdog Competition 2019 presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Let's first look at our online competition and find out who did well with our contest among our listeners. First, the most popular picks. Far and away, the most popular pick. Well, actually, there were two of them that were dead heat. Wisconsin, the underdog at Ohio State. 32% of the audience selected them. Also, 32% took Kentucky against Missouri, and we know that, unlike the Wisconsin game, was a victory. We'll get to that with our panel in a moment. 18%, third most people, selected Syracuse at Florida State. So, with that in mind, by the way, there were 36 people that had Kansas State over Oklahoma. So that was the big upset, of course, nationally.
37.
So, who did the best online? Well, the winner of the online contest, if I can get to the page, is Jason Harris from Franklin, Kentucky. 39 points. And so he takes home the weekly prize, and we always have some good stuff for you if you play every week. So it's not like you're ever out of the contest. So keep playing. If you haven't played all year, you can still join up and play and see if you can win some prizes. It just takes one great week. Now let's get to the panel. For week 9, the first pick went to Chase McCabe, coming in at 0-8, and he is now 0-9. And it was a heartbreaking loss because he had Colorado, a 13.5-point home dog against the Southern Cal Trojans, a team that you love to beat. They led by 10,
yeah.
Chase. Going into the fourth quarter, they had it.
I was feeling good.
They had the lead.
Feeling real good. And I was silent, but I was feeling good.
And they lost 35-31. Chase is now 0-9. He has lost 9 times.
9 times. And no points for a cover.
Were you watching the game?
I was. That's 2 weeks in a row that I've covered, but no points for a cover.
No points for a cover in Silly Underdogs. That brings us to Chris Sanders, who had, you know, the vomit in his throat, kind of the vomit burp as he was saying it, because he did not want to do this, but he selected one of his nemesis teams from the Big Ten, Michigan State.
Oh, they let me down.
They were a 6.5 home dog against Penn State. They have given Penn State fits over the years, especially in East Lansing, but not this time.
They were poo.
28-7, the Nittany Lions under James Franklin stay undefeated on the season. Chris, though, continues to be the story of the season so far. He's 4-5 on the year, but he's got 50 points with a bunch of big wins. So, Chris, you had a mulligan to give there.
I did, but you're in first place.
Still in first place. I can tell Chris is trying to talk to him in him because he's afraid Kelly will jump all over.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. You're right.
The third pick, Darren McFarland.
I love the way he's like, I'm still in first place.
Third pick went to Darren McFarland. He took the Badgers of Wisconsin, the aforementioned team. 14.5-point dog playing in the horseshoe against Ohio State, which is no longer a horseshoe. Hung around early, battled, still in the game at half.
It
got a big play at the end of the half, and they're right there. Ohio State put it in another gear and looked awesome in the second half and pulled away. 38-7 was the final. So, Darren, you are now 0-9.
Well, this
right
is,
alongside Chase McKay.
This is the best I could do because I got nothing to talk about. But Chase can actually back me up on this. I said to him, when we got done and went to the break last week, I said it was between Wisconsin and Kansas State. That's what I told him. I said,
So Chase, you witnessed this,
right? This was last week. As soon as we went to the break, I said, I couldn't decide Wisconsin or do I go even bigger and I go Kansas State. I really considered Kansas State.
Yeah.
And, of course, I went with Wisconsin. Just a nice story. That's all it is. It's a nice story.
Who was heckling you down in the locker room?
I'm not telling. I'm not gonna name names.
But they were they? We know they were staff for the Predators. Were there? You're just gonna keep it at that.
Just leave it alone.
You will not read no hints.
Alone, okay. It's
because there's some people with some Big Ten.
Chris comes on.
There's some
here.
Big Ten people down there. There's some Big Ten people down there.
I know. And Chris has come on here with swift kicks to the groin. I go downstairs in the Predators locker room. I'm getting swift kicks there. So, I mean, I get it. But I'm just here to tell you, I almost took Kansas. I mean,
I'm 0-9.
I was 50-50, and I took Wisconsin. I should have taken Kansas State.
Yep. Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Well, I'll give you a participation trophy later on.
I know. Hey, that's
2019, man.
Hey, that's Darren with two R's.
Congratulations, participant, silly underdog, 2019.
Oh, man, we're going to have to get a plaque. All right, Nick Cale had the fourth pick. The rookie selects Kentucky, a 10.5-point dog, playing in Lexington against Missouri, coming off the stinging loss to Vanderbilt. Kentucky made it a double whammy on the Tigers. They win 29-7 going away. So 10.5 points to Nick Cale. And he moves into sole possession of third place with 21 points. So a nice job by Nick.
Yeah.
He's not here to gloat about
it. Yeah, great job, Nick.
Missed his chance to talk trash.
Hopefully you're having a nice
running errands.
Right now.
It's a pedicure.
Bed Bath & Beyond.
Getting a pedicure.
Nice little, is it like Frank the Tank? Nice little Saturday plan? He's got a nice little Thursday plan.
He may be a Bed Bath & Beyond. Who knows? Who knows?
All right. That brings us to Derek Mason. He's going deep. I mean, he's not playing for second place. He's trying to get back in the competition. He selects the Falcons of Bowling Green.
We told him. That was a lousy
26.5-point underdog. Pick. Well, I mean, he went big. 26.5 at Western Michigan. And the Falcons led 3-0 at the end of the first quarter. And you're thinking, hey,
I was not thinking that. You may have been thinking. I was not.
Well, I didn't watch the game. I did look at the scores at the end of each quarter. I was like, were they... The final score was 49-10. They lost. So Derek is still at 14 points on the season, 3 wins, 6 losses. So he is in fourth place. And that brings us to Kelly Holcomb, the defending champion. He had to come out of the comfort zone.
Yeah, yep.
And what did you say? He fired the fullback. He went with the no.
He cut him. He released
him. He went to the shotgun. He went with three, four wides.
Yep.
Yeah, no fullback in the offense. And he went with Auburn, a 10.5-point dog at LSU. And that was a dogfight throughout. They were right in it.
Yeah.
The whole game. Up in the second half, late in the third quarter, it's still 13-10. They're hanging on. You were wondering, is this going to happen?
No.
Couple of big plays by LSU. The defense takes over. Still right there. 23-20 was the final. So Kelly stays at 30 points. He's 6-3 on the season, but he trails Chris by 20 points in the competition.
Kelly was yelling Omaha as he was trying to change, audible the play.
No, I actually cut it off because, I mean, I understand that he's a freshman, but, like, he can't throw it in the ocean, dude. I mean, good.
He does miss bad on some of those passes.
He's got to complete some passes now. I mean, at some point, we got to complete some passes. And, I mean, if they do that, they got a good chance of winning the game. They're still in the game, but, you know, you got to be accurate with your throws. I guess that'll come with a little bit more experience.
Yep, the true freshman. All right, so we move on to week 10. On the other side, we will make the picks. Chris Sanders will have the first pick. He's got a 20-point lead on Kelly. Darren will be second, trying for his first win. Nick Cale in third place. We'll have the third pick. Derek Mason, fourth. Kelly Holcomb, fifth. And Chase McCabe, not only is he in last place, but he's got the last pick. This is the Silly Underdog Picks provided by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We're coming up next for Week 10.
Thank you, Pete. We're in your tavern. We're in Pete and Terry's tavern. You should be here, too, because in a little bit over an hour, we're going to let somebody in the building with us tonight, Predators and Flames. You've got a chance to win a pair of tickets, but you have to come in here and sign up to win. You don't have to be present to win, but you have to come in here and sign up to win at Pete and Terry's Tavern. So you've got a little bit over an hour to get involved. And you just walk in here, you see the registration box sitting on the counter at Pete and Terry's Tavern, and you've got a chance to win tickets to tonight's game to close out the month of October. Okay? But right now, we're making our picks. So, Willie, with that being said, the commissioner, I will turn things back over to you.
Okay, we move on to Week 10. Chris Sanders right now in the lead with 50 points
the
year.
Hey,
Kelly with 30.
How you doing.
Nick Kale with 21. Derek Mason, 14. Chase and Darren.
Zero.
Okay, this is the Silly Underdog picks. Volunteer hose and gasket. Chris Sanders on the clock.
Hey, honey, what you want to pick, honey? Hey, honey, what do you think?
Wait, are you catching the song here?
Yeah, he did it last.
Yeah, he did it last. Week.
That's right. Then we're not, you know, I am going to wonder if the pack catches up. Changing the song when you're on fire is a questionable move.
Hey, Boo, that's a good pick. I think let's go with that.
And
Boo,
this pick right here, this one's from Kelly Holcomb. I mean, this is going to put me over the echelon. And, you know, last week we lost, me and my sweetie pie, we met. And when I first told her about the pick that I was going to make, she's kind of like, what are you talking about? But this is the pick right here that's going to get me over. It is UMass over Liberty. Get you some.
Have you seen UMass? This is you just.
Okay.
This is you going. You know what? I'm so comfortable with my lead.
Okay.
I don't care.
No,
that's
okay.
What you just did.
Okay. And when I call you all day Saturday, on the hour, every
I will
day.
Answer.
You will.
I will answer.
And then I'm
if the Minutemen
home.
Win this, I will answer it and take everything you got.
Got it. And then I'm gonna call Kelly Holcomb every 5 minutes just to let him answer. This is the
go
one.
Go ahead, man.
Get.
I'm sure
See?
You will.
Okay.
You called Derek, and he won't answer.
I was helping my daughter study for a history test, and they were talking about the American Revolution, and they were talking about the Minutemen.
Yeah. They stink.
So I was like, you're talking about UMass? No.
I mean, they
Dad,
stink.
No, we're talking about the Minutemen,
and, you know,
the actual Minutemen. But UMass Minutemen are 1-7 on the year, and they are a 23.5-point underdog playing at home. Against Liberty under Hugh Freeze,
they
5-3.
They just lost by 3 touchdowns to UConn.
Okay.
It was the battle of the toilet bowl, and they lost by 3 touchdowns.
Okay. Well, I just have your phone in hand on Saturday.
Hey, the guy's got 50 points.
What's your girlfriend's name again? Ashley?
Ashley.
Yeah, Ashley's clearly out of the country. This is totally your pick. Ashley is in Norway right now. There's no way she had any part of this pick.
So Tajay Sharp, I'm sure, will be very happy with this pick,
exactly.
Rooting for you.
Yep, I'm telling you. Okay, I'll just have all y'all's phone in hand on Saturday.
Yeah, we will. Don't worry.
We will.
All right, the Minutemen, 23.5 against Liberty. That brings us to Darren McFarland with the second pick.
Indian Fever.
It's officially next year for the Indians.
It does.
Next year. Each game is a brand new beginning.
It is. Each year, too.
It's a new
Not
year.
Last year.
I don't know what winning feels like. Be a believer.
He's gone.
Yeah, that's great. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. I'm going to go.
It's a good thing the guy with the drum in Cleveland doesn't have the attitude. That guy went through years where they were terrible. He'd be out there at the municipal and beating that drum with a lot of pride.
Wild thing.
You need to let him make the pick.
Oh, man.
That guy, too.
This team played a crazy, crazy 6-overtime game. They had the week off to enjoy that incredible game and victory. Notre Dame, I don't believe is that good, but they are at home. But I'm going to take Virginia Tech and the 17.5 points.
Virginia Tech is a 17.5-point dog at Notre Dame. who come, and both teams coming in at 5-2. It's a 1:30 game on NBC. Notre Dame did not look good at all in the rain in the Big House. Boy, they were bad.
No. And I don't have a story. I didn't. It's not between that and another game. That was my pick. So we'll see how bad I stink next week.
So you're hoping for a funk from the Fighting Irish.
I just don't. Hangover. I mean, I just think Virginia Tech seems like they're getting better each week. So.
And Notre Dame is facing the reality. They're not going to the playoffs. Nope. It's just not. That second loss, they're done. So this could be a good time to go in there. We'll see. That brings us to Nick Cale, who is absent this week. Yeah, where is he now?
He's getting a pedicure.
Well, at last check, he was pedicure and then Bed Bath & Beyond, and then where's the next one?
Who knows? If he's got time, he may hit Home Depot. Who knows?
No, that wasn't on his list.
No?
No.
Not on the list? So Max Hurst has the picks from Nick Cale, and he has been studying the first two. Here we go.
Hopefully his picks are better than his attendance.
The Pittsburgh native.
Pittsburgh picking for Philly. We got to go with the Pennsylvania polka here. An absolute jam. We're trying to keep the momentum Nick had going last week. He will be picking Florida in the world's largest outdoor cocktail party on the neutral field against UGA.
I think we need to crank up the music one more time. That's pretty good stuff right there. I have heard the Steeler polka, an offshoot of this as well.
It just Florida doesn't is, end. It just doesn't end.
It just keeps going. Florida is a 6.5-point dog in the game against Georgia. This is an interesting one. Anybody surprised that the line is that big, given that Georgia has struggled some?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, look, if we had a close competition going on, that probably would have been the first game taken.
So we have a
tour of Ashley. Suggestion, like, if you're not here, you don't get to pick, because that was my dadgum pick. He should be able to pick.
We have a text from Nick Cale.
Oh, we don't want to hear about his text. Dude, if you're not going to be on the show and participate, I don't want to hear about his gifts.
How does he have time to text?
Right, he's got
if he can't
time
be on
to do that,
pick.
But he does have time to go on the air, so I don't even want to hear
it. It's funny, though.
You know what? Now, we don't get off. You don't get to do off-air commentary if you're not going to participate.
Darren, you have to admit you're a little grumpy because you're 0-9.
Yeah, I am.
If you were 9-0, I think, oh, yeah, let's hear what Nick has to say. If he were 0-9, you'd want to hear it.
Well, Kelly's mad. I'm mad. If Ashley was in the country, Chris Sanders would have taken Florida and done the right thing and done the right pick. But instead, she's in, I don't know where, in Europe, and he takes UMass.
All I know is if UMass wins, we have a new record. We will have shattered the record.
If UMass wins, I'll be joining Nick with a pedicure next Thursday. I won't be on the show.
Okay.
All right. That brings us to Derek Mason, who has the fourth pick. He comes into the competition in fourth place.
All right. Boy.
Derek, good to hear from you.
Hey, nice to be on. Nice to be on. I'm going to go with the team that had a bye last week. I like what their coach had to say after the big victory. So I'm going with Vandy.
Oh.
Wow.
Chase is like, dang it, I was going to sing that song. I was really feeling it this week.
I wasn't going to sing a song, but.
That was going to be yours?
Yeah.
Interesting. Vanderbilt is a 15-point dog on the road against South Carolina.
Oh,
so D-Mace needs points going big.
Many people say they want this job. I'm still with this job, okay? So I'm going with Derek Mason and the Vanderbilt Commodores.
Huh. I thought that line was a little high. I got to be honest.
I
thought that
was
a little steep.
This is about right, I think.
Okay.
I think. I think there's still some skeptics with Vanderbilt, and I think people believe that back at home there will be some sort of bounce back with South Carolina.
Okay.
But we will find out. Kelly Holcomb is now on the clock. He has the fifth pick. He trails Chris Sanders by 20.
Wow.
And Chris Sanders has a 23.5-point pick on the board.
Country roads take
They suck.
Once again, Willie, I'm going to bring up two things. Can we get Chris to shut up? Is there any way you can find him? While other people are picking. And secondly, if Nick Kale's not going to come on, he doesn't get the pick. Because you picked my pick. So now I've got to scramble because I didn't think any, I thought guys would be getting more points. So, dadgummit. And Chris, obviously, I hate to say this, but Chris cannot win anymore. I'm gonna have to go with this just because of points, and they're really bad. But I don't know. I just for points, I'm gonna say Georgia Tech beats Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
All right, Georgia Tech is a 7.5-point dog playing at home against the 5-3 Pittsburgh Panthers. I'm gonna give props to Pittsburgh for going back to the old school Dan Marino, Tony Dorsett uniforms.
Yep.
I like those. You guys fans of those? They went
yeah,
to a
yeah,
different.
I like
those as well. Yeah, they're nice.
Yeah, I'm digging those. Kind of the sort of the lighter blue and the lighter gold instead of like the older gold, the dirty gold and the navy. So Pittsburgh going on the road to Atlanta. That brings us to the 0-9 Chase McCabe. He's had a chance to survey
the
board
for Georgia Tech.
For Georgia Tech, 7.5 for the Yellow Jackets.
All right.
All right. On to Chase McCabe for the final pick.
Hey, it worked for the Nats.
It saved the season. It saved the season for the Nats.
So let's see if it'll work for me.
That should be your rallying cry. They were 19-31.
Yep.
You could be the next Nats. The Blues were last place in the NHL on January 3rd. Could Chase McCabe recover from the 0-9?
Well, he's going to try.
Next week, play Gloria. If this doesn't work,
I am at this point. Got to get on the board. We got to just the season starting over. So give me SMU on the road at Memphis in prime time, and game day is there. Give me the undefeated SMU Mustangs.
This is actually a big game. They get the ABC window. Both teams are ranked. Memphis is 7-1, hosting SMU, who is 8-0. SMU, by the way, one of Chris Sanders' big winners earlier in the season, and there is a Sanders playing in this game.
Yes, sir. So I want him to win.
He's so far ahead, he wants you to win, Chase.
I mean, I know.
And he probably would want you to win anyway, even if he was running your tail.
Yeah.
So is this pick to separate you from me? Is this what this is? This is what this pick you just want to.
I want to get on the board.
Okay, so you're trying to separate yourself from.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, SMU is a 6-point dog in the Liberty Bowl against Memphis.
You picked a 17.5-point dog, so I mean, you know, there would be separation.
Well, I'm saying that you took a 6-point game because you're trying to.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to.
I'm trying to spark my team.
Okay.
Okay.
Because it's 3rd and 42, and you just threw a screen pass. That's all I'm saying.
No, I just did a quick kick.
Quick kick. All right, let's review the picks from Week 10, the Silly Underdog Contest presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. These are the picks. Chris Sanders, the leader in the competition, not only looking to add to his lead, but just looking to bury the competition and shatter the all-time record for points in a season 10 weeks in. The UMass Minutemen, 1-7 on the season, 23.5-point dogs playing at home against Hugh Freeze and the Liberty Club.
Who did Chris Kelly, you'll remember this, who did he take the first week of the contest against Ohio State? Who was it? One of the
Florida
Ohio
Atlantic
teams. Who? Oh, it was Florida Atlantic. This pick is dumber than FAU.
Yeah.
It really is. It's dumber than that pick.
Darren McFarland has the second pick. With no points on the season, trying to make a run, he goes with the Hokies of Virginia Tech. 5-2, but 17.5 points the underdog at Notre Dame against the Fighting Irish. Nick Kale, third pick, goes to Jacksonville, the largest outdoor cocktail party in America. The Florida Gators, a 6.5-point dog on the neutral field, against the Georgia Bulldogs. The winner of the game has, of course, the big leg up for the SEC East title. Derek Mason, picking fourth, stays in the SEC and goes to the Vanderbilt Commodores. His namesake's team, a 15-point dog on the road at South Carolina, as South Carolina still stinging from the loss and the decisive loss in Knoxville last Saturday. Kelly Holcomb goes with the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, trying to chip away at Chris Sanders' lead. The defending champion is 20 points behind. Georgia Tech is a 7.5-point home dog as they host the Pittsburgh Panthers. And then finally, Chase McCabe, just trying to get something, trying to get a first down, trying to do anything, move the chains one time, just get break the zero, break the goose egg. He goes with the undefeated SMU Mustangs, 8-0, 6-point dogs, playing in the Liberty Bowl against the 7-1 Memphis Tigers. A big, big game in the American Football Conference, or the American Athletic Conference. Remember, you can play online by going to thegamenashville.com. You make three picks each week. Even if you haven't played all year, jump on in. We got weekly prizes for you. Just make your picks before Saturday at 9 a.m., or 10 a.m., I should say. Those are the picks for Week 10. And, gentlemen, good luck.
Whatever. Thank you, Commissioner.
I got it.
That's the attitude, Chase. That's the attitude.
Thank you. Thank you.
See you, guys.
Forever Titan Chris Sanders, Kelly Holcomb.
Forever Brown, Kelly Holcomb.
All right, we'll come back. By the way, still got a chance to get in here. People are hanging out for lunch. You don't have to be present to win, but you must be present to register to win tickets to come to tonight's game. So pop into Pete and Terry's Tavern if you're downtown here, the back end of Bridgestone Arena, and you could be in the building tonight. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
They had this going in Tampa. It had the whole crowd snapping along.
Oh, yeah?
Singing along. Yeah, they had a great organist down there. Did a good job.
Awesome.
Who knows what crazy Kyle will have up his sleeve tonight.
Oh, he'll have something.
He might have this one. We'll see.
By the way, if you think you're the biggest Alabama fan out there, well, you've got a chance to win a cabin on the Crimson Tide Cruise. That'll be on February 10th through the 15th. It's the second annual Crimson Tide Cruise that will set sail from New Orleans to Cozumel and on through Yucatan, Mexico, on board the Carnival Valor. It's a national champion-worthy vacation with your favorite Alabama sports legends. Send us a picture by Twitter with the hashtag BamaCruise, hashtag BamaCruise, or you can upload a picture at thegamenashville.com. Book the cruise at CrimsonTideCruise.com and get $150 off with the promo code GAME. With the promo code GAME. Dish Red, where Vanderbilt will extend their alcohol sales. You know, they did it during this football season, or have been doing it this football season. Chase, we experienced that at the Georgia game. The line was all the way to Murfreesboro.
Yep.
Backed
up to Floyd.
They will. That's right, back to Floyd. Not Floyd Reese, Floyd Stadium. But they're going to extend it for basketball games and baseball games this year as well.
Yeah, I actually was going to bring this up, and then Mike Vrabel went to the podium, so I didn't have a chance to really get into it. But you kind of expected this, that they would, you know, they did it for football, that they're going to do it for everything else. So now making it official that as they learn how to work things and, you know, probably have worked a lot of kinks out from that first game that you and I were at with Georgia, now you can do that at Memorial Gym and the Hawk.
Yep, so wanted to pass that along. Well, we really haven't had a chance to get your thoughts on Game 7 last night as the baseball has closed up shop for the year, at least on the field. And we thought, you know, man, we've never seen through the first six games that ever happened, and it played out. It went all the way through seven. I said back at the first hour of the show that I would say in our lifetimes we'll probably never see that happen in professional sports again, where a seven-game series goes to the visiting team. I don't think we'll see it in our lifetime. Doesn't mean it won't happen in sports again, but I don't think it'll happen in our lifetime.
As I was sending out a couple tweets and congratulatory, and you know, during the big moments of the game, and it was a great game seven. It ended up 6-2, but if you watch the game, it was intense, and there was the huge turn of events that happened in the seventh inning so suddenly, where a team that all of a sudden was in the driver's seat was not. But as I got somebody that tweeted back and said, you know, home field, home ice just isn't what it used to be. And I wonder if that's true. Like, I wonder if the numbers.
Why?
I wonder if the numbers support that. Like, is it actually true? I don't know. But it does certainly seem like we've been talking about that a lot. Like, the NFL.
Well, I know, but that was the first month of the season. We haven't bothered to go back and look like the next four games. So we're at the kind of the midway point. Did it play out, or did things kind of start evening out the next 4 weeks? We should do that with the NFL, because the story the first 3 to 4 weeks were the visiting teams. The visiting teams were having so much success in the NFL. Okay, but why? I mean, the Predators are having success here. They're 6-1.
No, but you can't pick out one game or one sport or one season, really. It's more like over time, over the years, has it gotten easier to win on the road? I don't really know the answer to that, but that was just floated out there, because in recent memory, you can think of a lot of teams that have done very well on the road.
Yeah. I mean, there have been times the Predators have been that. You know, just
there's been some series. Remember the Winnipeg series where the road team won, what, 5 out of the 7 games?
Right.
I think.
So I think now you know, like, okay, if you're going to win a championship, you have to be successful both at home and on the road. And I don't know if there's much of an emphasis put on it, on how you prepare differently. But as we all know, I mean, it is different, because when you're home, you're home, and you have home stuff to deal with, and you have to kind of have life. When you're on the road, you're just...
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's the other thing. It's like the theories you can go on all day. Like why? I don't know if anybody can ever figure out why. Maybe you just handle...
Yeah.
The atmosphere better? I don't know. But it's like you got these great crowds, and nobody got to celebrate a win.
Right, but I mean, nothing's changed. That's what I want to know. Like, what has changed? I mean,
that's a good question.
Nothing's changed. I mean, there were.
Because you could say the camaraderie and the you're away from the family. That was true in 1950.
Right.
It's all,
everything you just pointed out was going on.
Is it just the traveling efficiency? That you travel and, you know. It's not as much of a grind to travel because of the charters and
Both teams have to travel. That's the thing. Both teams have to do it.
Right.
Right? I mean, they have to.
Yeah, over the time.
But at least with baseball, I was thinking about this last night, because hockey does, in a best of seven, it's 2-2, 1-1-1. Baseball still does the old 2-3-2. So I wonder if that has any difference at all. And
I'm just saying, Willie, after you get past the first two games, the start of the series, everybody travels the same, right? I mean, you have to go to and back and forth. Everybody's doing the same thing. So I don't know if that would really affect
Maybe just because of the salary caps, the teams in general are more even. I don't know. But it was a good World Series. The games, the tack-on runs by the Nationals, I think, were the key, because what you didn't have to see, other than the first game that they gutted out and found a way to win, the biggest weakness of the Nationals all year was the bullpen, right? It was shaky. Yeah. At one point, it was far and away the worst bullpen in the league. They fixed it some. They picked up Daniel Hudson, a couple other guys. Doolittle rebounded. But those guys, for the most part, were not put in tough situations.
It really wasn't
situations.
About the bullpen for the Nationals. It was all about their starting pitching.
The starting pitching, yes, but when Max Scherzer guts his way through five and you get him out of there... If I'm the Astros, I'm liking it. I'm up 2-0, and I got Scherzer out of the game.
Yep.
Nice. But Corbin pitched great.
Yep.
So they used that tactic that some teams have been doing. The Red Sox did it well, you know, bring the starter back. But I kept thinking, is Corbin going to finish this? Or if it stays 3-2, are they going to bring Hudson into a one-run game, which is a totally different thing than a four-run game, right? They gave him cushion. Daniel Hudson cruised through the whole thing. He's not a proven closer.
Right.
Right. He did a great job, but he didn't have to come in there and shut down that, you know, come out of a jam in the eighth inning and then pitch the ninth, or come in the ninth where you're up by one run and you got no margin for error. They took the heat off of him because they got the big hits to put the games away in the top of the ninth or top of the eighth.
And Patrick Corbin,
he was
awesome. You
got
to give him credit.
Well, I don't know why they took him out. I would have kept him in.
Yeah.
But the other thing, too, that I'm curious about, and you guys probably talked about this, how much heat will A.J. Hinch take? You play a game seven, you have Garrett Cole, who's been your nuclear weapon all year, and you wait and wait and don't use him until it's too late.
Do you agree with the time in which he took Greinke out?
Ken Rosenthal made a good point. Joe Buck started the, why wouldn't you just bring in Garrett Cole? He had been warming up. John Smoltz said, well, You bring the reliever in to get out of the jam. You want Garrett Cole to start the inning. I can buy that, but then Ken Rosenthal, I thought, made a good point. He said, well, if you're going to do that, and you were planning on using Cole, you already had him warming up, then why not bring your closer in to get at your best reliever
right
after Soto walks and Greinke's done, right? Soto is the tying run. Greinke walks him. It's 2-1 with two out with one out in the seventh. Bring Osuna in there to get out of the seventh, and then start Cole in the eighth and have him pitch as long as he needs to pitch. That was probably the move, I thought.
Yeah.
But instead, you bring in a guy, and they told the story. Will Harris, he's a pretty good player, pretty good pitcher, but he'd been pitching a lot. He was ineffective in game six. The coach had mentioned, A.J. Hinch had mentioned how tired he was, and he's the guy you bring in there? That's a questionable decision.
He trusts his guys, okay? He's trying to win the game.
But this is why we have shows like this.
You had to go there, didn't you?
Why? I'm just saying he trusts his guys, and he's trying to win the game.
But that was being first guess, right? The minute they brought Harris in, people were confused. Like, why? You have Cole out there.
Yeah.
It's just bad. The Dodgers are in the same boat, right? They got burned by the Nats, too. They never brought in Kenley Jansen until it was too late.
Of course. Look, the Nationals are the reason everybody's questioning everybody, right?
Right.
Because the Nationals are the one.
Yeah, and they were charmed.
They got everything.
It was their
done.
Year.
They got
destiny.
It done. Yep. They nothing fazed them. They were big in clutch times. They were big late in games. Nothing affected them. Being down didn't affect them. I mean, it just hats off to the Nationals. They just absolutely it was impressive. And quite honestly, it's why I switched my pick yesterday at the end of the show. I've been going Astros, 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 and yesterday when we made our predictions, I said, I'm going to switch. I'm going to go Nationals, man. They just look like it's meant to happen. It's meant to be for them.
What did I say, too? I said, well, I'm going to pick the Astros, so congratulations to the Nationals, because I've been wrong.
All right, what
time.
Do you guys make of this? Kyle Humphries tweeted at us and said, the reason home field doesn't mean as much anymore is because ticket cost is so much that the big wig business people buy all the tickets, and they aren't as rowdy. It's frustrating because normal people can't afford tickets anymore.
Wow. Well,
how much stock do you put into that?
It's an interesting theory. And I think the other part of that might be, too, that it's easier for the other team's fans to get their hold on the tickets. If you got enough money, a lot of people seem to have this as a hobby now. They just go buy the tickets.
Look, that could be part of what he's saying.
Yeah.
One, you price out The
blue collar craziest.
The Joe Rowdy fan, you know, or whatever. Rowdy fan, okay? That's crazed. That could pay whatever, $300 for the ticket. But, you know, they're going for thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And the other thing is, oh, by the way, if you are rooting for the other team and you want to get in, you'll get in. If you have the money, you'll get in.
Yep.
Because somebody's going to sell their ticket at the right price to anybody. They don't care.
Yeah.
And so there is that going in. So it works both ways, right? You keep the really, really rowdy fans that can go to the normal, you know, the regular season games, but they're not going to be. They can't make the postseason. And don't forget, because that happened some here in the run. I mean, I had Predators fans come up and they were sad. I mean, but you know, it's business, and the longer it goes, right? There's just certain fans. They can't afford to do it. Oh, you know, each round, and so it gets tougher and tougher. The price, it's harder and harder, and so it's no different in baseball. It's no different in any sport. And I don't know how much that factors into what we were talking about.
It's a good
question.
But
it's got to be. There's got to be something to that.
I think there is.
I'd like to see a study done.
Yeah.
I would too, but I mean, just
well, we have, first
the
of all,
test.
We have to confirm that what we think in our mind is true is actually true. That home field advantage has gone down over time.
I don't know whether it actually has.
The numbers would have to tell us that.
Without having the actual data in front of us, how could it not? Right? I mean, to me, it's just it has to be on a decline somehow. Like, there's no way it's more, right? Or less? There's no way.
I don't know.
I can't imagine. Like, I would have to believe that visiting teams have just had more success
in the four major sports
in the last what? What's the time frame we want to use?
Well, let's say the last 30 years.
30 years. Oh,
20 years?
I was thinking of a more smaller sample. Well, because no, because to this point, Kyle, like, it's like in the last like five, like things have gotten like crazy.
Does
like, what people pay?
Do you guys think that?
And the market, like all these sites where you can make your tickets readily, like that wasn't 30 years ago, 20 years ago. You didn't have
this is
all
pretty
sites.
Recent, and I think that's a factor. I think parity just overall with the leagues, like we were talking about earlier, you know, the Nationals win the World Series, the Blues win the Stanley Cup. I think that factors in.
But how does that apply to the Nationals? The Nationals did just the opposite. Their superstar, when you said Washington Nationals, you go, Nationals, name a player.
Yeah. Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper, right. Yeah. Right? 9 out of 10 people say Bryce Harper, even though they've got other star players. People go, Bryce Harper.
Sometimes you get rid of the star player and the team gets better.
But you just said they let him go.
Yeah, but there is parity.
And they get better.
Don't you think there is parity, though? More so than there was 20 years ago in baseball.
But they had a superstar and they got better after
Well, that's part of parity. The superstar goes from there to another team that's trying to build up, the Phillies.
But there's a different type of
superstar. They were down and trying to come back up. There is more parity.
Bryce Harper is a really, really – I mean, he's one of the best players in baseball, but he also has this spotlight on him that nobody else in that team had, and you can bring it close to home. I mean, the Predators had that with P.K. Subban. P.K. Subban's a really good player, but they traded him for financial reasons, and we know why and all that. But
it boils down to
it takes
hockey,
something away,
everybody
too.
Has the same resources to spend. It's not quite that way in baseball, but it is in – for sure, hockey and football. So I think I would buy that argument 100% in the NFL and the NHL.
I when I think
still
baseball,
a little,
I don't think parity. I mean, parity is not a word that comes to mind when I think of Major League Baseball.
If teams are down, they're not down because they don't have any money.
Right.
Right? Tampa Bay and Oakland are probably the financially poorest teams, but they're still really good teams.
Pittsburgh, Miami, we can go through the list. They're not – at the same level, Kansas
no,
City they, Royals, as we just talked about, they're not going to be.
But they
at
won
the
a World
level
Series.
As the usual suspects that spend all the money.
No, but they have enough money because it's gotten better. It used to be you couldn't do it, but now with the revenue sharing, you have enough money. If you play your cards right, you might not have the same margin of error. You're not going to spend the same as the Red Sox or the Yankees, but you can still win. Like the Nationals don't have as much money as the Yankees, but they. And that's why they probably couldn't sign Harper, but they still had enough to have a good team.
Well, they offered him $300 million. It's not like they didn't offer him. Yeah,
exactly. So they had
they gave him the offer.
Right. Every team had the Padres just signed Manny Machado, so they had they had money.
How'd that work out?
That hasn't worked yet.
All right, we will come back.
Not worked yet.
Fourth and final hour, we kick it off with Elliot Freeman. That's next.